my brethren. He calls them my brethren. And I say to you, my brethren, be like me addressing you, my brethren. And I'm talking to you. And I say, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That being not many masters means don't set yourself up to be the teacher, to be the master, to be the instructor. And what he's saying here, don't be so eager to teach. Don't be so eager to preach. Don't be so eager to be a leader in the Scriptures. Don't be so eager to put yourself up to be somebody, something that knows something. Don't take this office to yourself presumptuously upon yourself. And it also means be not many masters. It also means this, someone who thinks it's, they're all, you know, they're always strict. They set standards. They find faults and they straighten others out and they set themselves up as the master, as the one who has control over people. But it says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't, you know, that's why the Scriptures, Paul told Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. You know, it's a, if any, but this is the thing. There's so many people wants to be preachers, wants to be teachers, wants to lead. And yet, beloved, if they ever understood the responsibility of it, and that is the calling God gives them, you wouldn't have near as many people in the ministry. You wouldn't have folks so eager to teach. Because it says here, we shall receive the greater condemnation. If we set ourselves up to be the master, set ourselves up to be the teachers, set ourselves up to be the judge, set ourselves up to be the spiritual leaders, whatever we set up ourselves to be, that's the way we're going to, whatever we tell other people to be, that's the condemnation going to come back on us. Whatever we, standards we lay down for somebody else, that's the standard by which we're going to be judged by. Whatever we teach somebody else to do, that's the standard we're going to be judged by. If we set ourselves up as a master, we're going to receive the judgment of a master. That's what our master says. You know, we set ourselves up as claiming light, more light. People claim more light, more knowledge, or knowledge great. But, you know, we're going to be judged for what we claim. Now, you keep James and look in Matthew chapter 7. And all, to whom much is given, much is required. But I tell you, beloved, if we claim more light, knowledge, our judgment is greater by what we claim. By what we claim. And over in James, it said, I mean, Hebrews, it said, we shall give an account. We shall give an account. We're those who must give an account. And if you want to be the preacher, if you want to be the teacher, if you want to be the person in control, you want to be the person who's telling everybody else what to do. You want to be the person who lays down the law, so to speak, and set up the, you know, that's whatever, what you claim to do, that's what you're going to be judged by. Nah. And look what he says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged. Set yourself up as a master to cast judgment on somebody. But with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. You better make sure your judgment's a just judgment. Better make sure your word's right. Better make sure that whatever you say is true. And with what measure you meet, you measure out something for other people to go by. You measure out, you know, that this is the line we're going to walk. You lay that righteousness, that plumb line, that righteousness out there. You lay it out there. You lay that plumb line out there. And with what measure you meet, whatever you require somebody else is going to be measured to you again. And that's why it says, my brethren, don't you be many masters. Don't be many masters. Oh my, to whom and we set ourselves up as better or stronger or wiser or more spiritual, we're going to receive judgment to be in that sense. And then look what he says over here again in James chapter 3. He says in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. Oh my. We give offense and we offend people in many things. We offend everybody. We do it. That's just, you know, that's just the nature of things. For in many things we offend all. And those of us who teach, preach, and those who are taught, we have many infirmities. Oh my goodness, what infirmities we have. You know, that's one thing that, you know, people know the grace of God. I am so thankful for it because the preacher knows what he is. And he knows what the people he's preaching to is. And I remember Tim James was preaching one time, and he said, I'm one sinner preaching to other sinners. Somebody told him later that was visiting, said, I've never heard a preacher call himself a sinner. It's everybody else that's the sinner, it's not the preacher. That's why he said, don't set yourself up as the master. You all, something wrong with you, nothing wrong with me? Did we not come out of the same lump?
Yes, sir.
Did we not come out from the same root? Did we all not come from the same Father? And that the best we do, those of us who teach and those who are taught have many a prayer. If we say we have not sinned, we lie and deceive ourselves. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and the truth not in us. So we encompass with infirmities. And those who are quick to be masters, judges, or leaders, if we could see ourselves as we are, and our mistakes and our offenses, we wouldn't be so quick to set up judgment upon others. Because my soul, look at all the offenses. You know, I'm an offense to myself, much less be an offense to somebody else. But I'll tell you something about self-justifiers. They're generally self-deceived. You know, our Lord said, I know you. I know you. He said, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men. But he says, that is well-pleasing in the sight of men is an abomination in the sight of God. And also, we don't want to be quick to do that. And then look what he says, goes on here in verse 2, for in many things we offend also. If you go to teaching that, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Oh my goodness. If any man offend not in word, whenever there's none offense given, and none taken from the tongue. That's a miracle almost. But there is more offense given and more offense taken by what people say than anything else in this world. You know, you can make a man an offender for a word is what the Scripture says. But there's more offense given with this thing right here. The words that we say. And more taken when there ain't any men. And the person, and that's what he says here, if any man offend not in word, the person who learns to control his tongue, it says he's a perfect man. That doesn't mean that he's perfect in the sense that he does not make any mistakes with his tongue. It means that he's a mature man. He's a believer. He's able to control it. He's able to use it wisely. Beloved, the man who learns when to speak, what to speak, how to speak for God's glory and the good of others, that's a mature man. And they're few and far in between. I'd love to be one of those. Wouldn't you learn to know what to speak? Wouldn't you learn to know when to speak? When to hold your tongue? Wouldn't you love to learn to know how to say something? How to speak and do it for the glory of God and for the good of church? Wouldn't you love to learn to love to do that? No, we can pray, God, teach me. Take me, Lord, and teach me. Teach me how to say. And oh, listen what he says here. The same as a perfect man able to also bridle the whole body. A man who governs his tongue is able to govern his whole body. If you can control your tongue, you can control your own, you can control everything about yourself. I want you to see some things with me in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. You know, it's a... Boy, you know, whenever somebody asks you a question, the first thing you ought to do is pray before you ever answer. I mean, talk about spiritual things. But I mean, a man who governs his tongue, he's able to govern the whole body. That's why James says, be swift to hear. Be swift to hear, but be slow to speak. Everybody wants to speak, but don't want to listen. But he says, you listen. Be swift to hear. And be very, very slow to speak. Proverbs 21:23 says this. Whoso keepeth his mouth, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Oh, my goodness. I almost feel like sometimes, Lord, just shut up. Oh, shut up now. Just sit down. Oh, my. The tongue is a small member, beloved. And oh, my. That when God gives a man wisdom and grace, enables him to govern his tongue, he'll enable him to govern his actions. And oh, beloved, back over here now in chapters, he said he's able to bridle the whole body. Then over in chapter verse 3. You know, the tongue is a small, small member. It's a small member, little thing. And I mean, it's useful. We taste with it. It's all the taste buds that's in it. Enables us to swallow. Enables us to have speech. You know, you find there's people who have impediments with their tongue and that stammer, but God gives you tongue to taste with, swallow with. And the tongue, it's a small member. And it's so useful. And it can produce amazing, astounding, sometimes marvelous results. Oh my, when you hear somebody preach the gospel, you say, oh my. Use the tongue to the glory of God, to sing hymns with, to bless God with, to praise God with. And then we can take that same tongue and absolutely destroy somebody with it. And it's such a little member, huh? And he gives us three illustrations of the use of the tongue. Three illustrations. He said, first illustration, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about the whole body. Now, a horse is big. You get a big old horse, and he's strong, wild, self-willed, and yet you can take that horse and take a steel bit, small bit, compared to the size of that horse, and you can put that bit in that horse, put bridle on that horse, put reins on that horse, and you can control that horse. You can stop him, you can turn him left, you can turn him right, you can control him. And that's what he says, is we can do that with a horse. We can put a bridle in a horse. We want him to go right, we go right. Go left, go left. And oh, it's big, it's strong. And you're able to turn the whole body, this great big huge horse. I mean, man, you just better look like a small person. But yet you can control it, you can turn it, you can move it around, you can stop it, you can do what you want to with it. But sometimes he'll bite the bit and run towards and try to throw its rider. And that's what ours will do sometimes. Put a bit in it. But yet sometimes it just runs wild. Runs wild. Look with me at Psalm 39. Oh my. Psalm 39. Oh, for grace and wisdom to wash the tongue. Psalm 39 in verse 1. Look what it says. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. Oh my. Ain't that something? You ever felt like that about yourself? You know, in fact, the psalmist asked one time, he said, Lord, you take the reins. You take the reins. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Or excuse me, 141 in verse 3. 141 in verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch. Put a guard over it. Keep the door of my lips. David knew how dangerous the tongue was. And then look at the second illustration. He used a horse. Oh, horse is useful. But boy, without that bit in his mouth and being tamed, dangerous. But look what also he said, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, there's ships. Great big ships. They got ships that you put 5, 6, 7, 8,000 people on. Land airplanes on them. Jets on them. And there's that great big huge ship. And you look at what it takes to turn that big ship compared to the size of that ship, it ain't much bigger than this pulpit. And they'll just flip it this way if they want it to go this way. And you know, take a great big ship, control this great big ship with all this weight and all this power, and can turn it whichever way the governor wants to. And it's just a small thing that does it. Just a small thing. And that's what he's using in the illustration. And all a huge ship turned by very small of it. Steer, you know, you can steer it to safety. Or if you don't know how to steer it, you can end up grounding that thing. Running into rocks. Sinking it. And that's the way we are. We can use this tongue for good, or we can use it to end up on the rocks with. Huh? And oh, look what else he says. Even so, the tongue is a little member. A little member. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Boasteth great. A little fire, here it says. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can. A little fire. You can take a match. You know how little a match is? Small, ain't it? Little tiny match, or a spark, just a spark, can destroy a home, can destroy a forest, can even burn down a whole city. Just a spark. Just a spark. There's a big, big home down in Knoxville a few weeks ago. A spark. With some gas was out. Just a spark. Blew that house all over. Just a spark. Just a spark. And he says, oh my, just a match, a spark can destroy a home, a fire. Chicago burned, went down one time. Remember that? And even so, the tongue is just a little bitty member. And look what it says, boasteth great things. The tongue, like the bit, like the rudder, like the mash, the tongue is a small thing. That bit that you put in that horse is a small thing. That rudder that controls that ship, small thing. That mash is a small thing. The tongue is a small thing. And yet it can do great and mighty things, just like that bit can, like that match can, like that rudder can. It can do great and mighty things. The tongue, well ordered and sanctified by God, can speak the gospel, can comfort, it can bring happiness, it can build friendships, it can unite people. It can spend great comfort in words. It can use words of encouragement, edification, bring great happiness and joy to people. Or else it can turn right around and do an incredible amount of harm. Huh? I want you to look at several things with me in Proverbs. First of all, Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 25. That all, I tell you, the word, the tongue, well ordered and sanctified, can preach the gospel. Ain't you grateful that there's men who know the gospel can preach it to you? Ain't you grateful for people that speak words of comfort, words people can encourage you with their words, can bring happiness with words, build friendships, establish friendships, bring such comfort, such assurance, bring such peace, such strength to somebody with just words. You can take find somebody that's down, just use the right words and then bring them right up. And look here in Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Every one of us here knows what that means. But what's this? But a good word maketh it glad. A good word maketh it glad. Proverbs 15:23. A good word will make it glad. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Oh my. Then look at a word, man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. and a word spoken in due season. Oh, when it's needed, how good is it? And look over here at 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25:11. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I've used it, quoted it many times. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Oh my. Just a word fitly spoken. You ever seen a gold apple? He said a word fitly spoken. It's like a golden apple. Not only is it like a golden apple, but it's got a silver frame all the way around. Oh, God, let us use our tongues to His glory. But oh, look what he goes on to say over here again in in James. And he says in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. There's so much sin in the tongue. It's called a world of iniquity. A world of it. A whole world of iniquity. That's what's in this tongue. Oh, when it's moved by anger, envy, jealousy, ambition, passion like that, the tongue is like a rage and destructive fire spreading and destroying without pity, without partiality. You know, they passed a law in France. I heard it yesterday. And I'd read about it, but I heard a fellow talking about it yesterday. They passed a law in France that if you use your words to abuse your husband or wife or the person you're living with, they can put you in jail. If you have an argument with your wife or your husband and you verbally abuse them and call them awful names and things like that and insult them, they can arrest you and put you in jail. If they've done that, the whole country's going to jail. How many times, and that's what he said here, when this tongue is moved by anger, what damage it does. How many times have we let this mouth speak out of envy when we ought to have been bragging on somebody? We was belittling them because we was jealous or envious. How many times about through ambition have we belittled and put down someone else to set ourselves high? This tongue is like a raging fire. And it spreads danger and destruction without pity or partiality. And that's what he said here. Setting on fire the course of nature itself. One word from me would lead to a word from you and a word from this and a word from that. And the next thing you know, everybody's screaming. Everybody's hollering. Everybody's using awful words at one another. Everybody's belittling me. One of them's cussing everybody. Everybody's mad at everybody else. Used to have business meetings where it almost took the sheriff to separate the people. But let me show you this in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. That's right. Before the book of Proverbs. Go to Isaiah, then Song of Solomon, and then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 5. You know, and it says it's a raging. And I tell you, I know from experience myself, and oh, set on fire the course of nature. You know, one person says something, next thing he says it back, and the next thing you know, you got somebody else involved in, the next thing you know, you got everybody screaming and hollering and raging and raging. And one person hears something, he said, you what he said, and he said this, and he said that. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to put up with that. The next thing you know, you got people just berating and belittling and hollering at one another. But look what it says here in verse 6, Ecclesiastes 5, 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. You know, how could you do that? You threaten somebody, and then you may have to take that threat all the way through. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to do something that you wouldn't do. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't pronounce judgments you can't follow through on. Neither say thou before the angel. That was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Oh my. So Allah. Then back over in James. And then he goes on there in verse 6. He says, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It'll defile the whole body. That tongue defile the whole body. How can it defile the whole body? Because it, what comes out of here? Comes out of here. It defiles everything about you. It's part and parcel of you. It's just like sinning with your hand. You know, you sin, when you sin with your hand, because the first sin starts in your heart. And that's what he's saying here. And it sets so far the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell itself. Hell itself. It's like a fire from the heat. It can stir up passions like water boiling. And listen to this. It's like a fire from the danger of it. When that tongue just starts like a fire from the danger, no one's safe from its path. It can turn a happy home or a church into a barren wilderness. Destroy. It's like a fire in the duration of it. If the fire's out of control, it's hard to stop it. In words spoken in anger, spoken in passion, spoken in ridicule, spoken with the intent to hurt, sets on fire, and it's hard to stop it. It can get out of control, can't it? How many times have your heart been hurt by what somebody said? And how many times have we hurt by what we said? And this little member can destroy friendships that have endured for years. It can destroy homes. It's destroyed churches that have been happy and content. But when that tongue gets loose and sets on course the fires of hell itself and the fire of nature, it can destroy them. It can destroy a person's character. It can destroy a person's reputation. It can be used to plant suspicion in a person's mind. It can be used to bring doubt into someone's mind. It can be used to turn someone from truth to error. It is set on fire of hell itself. And look what he goes on to say here now. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. There ain't nothing that hasn't been tamed. Nothing. You go to them places and they got whales that do tricks for you. Whales that they catch in the, they tame whales and they'll do tricks for you. Dolphins, snakes, deer, lions, tigers, bees. Every kind of beast been tamed. Cows and elephants, huge elephants. They've been tamed. They've been, and people can pet them and be around them. But there ain't nobody ever tamed this.
No, sir.
You can walk up and pet a lion and be safer than it, and then a fellow take his tongue and do more damage than a lion. But that's what he went on to say. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. Unruly evil. Full of deadly poison. And the tongue, no man can control it, hold it in check, or stop its bitterness of evil. I was talking to Walter down there this last week, and they got some pretty dangerous snakes down there. And back when they used to raise the henequen down there, and they'd chop that henequen, the stuff that they make ropes out of and sizzle out of, he said, when they was out there working on that, if they got snake bit by certain snakes, they'd just go ahead and take the machete Go, just go right ahead and cut it off. But he says there's a snake, they call it two-step. He said when you get bit, you take two steps and that's it. This don't even give you two steps. You can hurt somebody with it. That's how deadly a poison's in this thing. Deadly poison. I don't want poison to be in mine, do you? You want poison to be in yours? How many times have we used this tongue to bring tears to people's eyes? How many times have we used it to berate somebody because we felt like we was better than them or knowed more than them or had more insight than them? And what our Lord's showing us here is the impossibility of the flesh to control it. But let me tell you something. I don't want to leave you like this. But the grace of God can tame it. The grace of God can subdue it. The grace of God can make it an instrument for God's praise and goodness. God's grace can do it. Huh? Grace can slay the corruption which we use the tongue as an outlet. Grace can quench the flames of hate and jealousy which motivate the tongue. Grace implants a new nature of love which influences the tongue to speak in kindness and truth and sincerity for the glory of God and the good of all men. The grace of God in Christ can change this tongue as an instrument of evil to an instrument of good. And no wonder David says, set a watch. Set a watch on it. Put a bridle on it. Set a watch on it, Lord. Set a watch on it. I'm going to pray that for myself. I'm not going to pray it for you. None of you have ever hurt me. If you have, I don't know it. Don't remember it. All you've ever said is kind things, gracious things, loving things to me. Encouraging things. But oh God, give us grace. Give us grace. Our Father, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Lord, that's a word we need. I need. Oh Lord, please. We say as the psalmist did, set a watch on our mouth. Help us not to let our tongue cause our flesh to sin. Teach us how to speak words in due season. Words of kindness, love, compassion. And if we have nothing that we can't say to be edifying and strengthening and encouraging to your people, help us not to say anything. Give us wisdom to know when to speak. Oh Lord Jesus, give us wisdom to know what to speak. And Lord Jesus, give us wisdom to know how to speak. Oh Lord, give us an abundance of grace. An abundance of grace. We are your children. We don't want to be harsh. We don't want to be cruel. We don't want to be envious or jealous. We don't want to use our lips and our tongue to do harm, to do damage. We want to use them to praise you and to bless you and to sing hymns and to preach the gospel. To speak well of one another. To speak in love. To speak in kindness. We want, oh God, teach us to do these things. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you in your sovereign mercy would open hearts here tonight. Lord Jesus, take the words that's been said and use them to your glory and our good. We ask in his holy name. Amen. Amen. There is a name.